I would like to continue now our discussion on the responsible stewardship of the gifts, looking specifically now at the fivefold equipping gifts. Now, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 7, that says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now, who's the he here? The he is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Skip down to verse 11, and we'll see what kind of gifts he's given to men. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service or the work of the ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. And it goes on further, elaborating on that quite a bit. This whole passage is very much worth your time getting into to see what a benefit these five equipping gifts are to the body of Christ. But I just want to back up to verse 11. He gave some. Now, the he, we've already established, the he is Jesus. Jesus gave some. Gave some what? Now, here, what Jesus is giving is not, he's not giving mystical gifts. Now, back in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, when we studied those passages, we looked at the nine manifestation gifts. Those gifts are mystical in nature. They are very spiritual in nature. They're very supernatural in nature. These gifts here in Ephesians 4, yes, there's a supernatural aspect to it in that there's an anointing on these people given these titles here, but basically these are not mystical gifts. Rather, when it says he, Jesus, gave some, he's not talking about the giving of anointing. He's not about this is not about giving of something mystical. It's about Jesus giving people to the church. In other words, there are certain people that Jesus Christ has given to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints, you and me, for the work of service or the work of the ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. And we're told specifically who these individuals are. They're the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay? Now, when I realized that that apostle in my midst, and some people don't even think there still are apostles, we've become cessationist even when we claim that we're not cessationist. I've seen people that believe in the present-day working of the manifestation gifts that we've studied in 1 Corinthians 12, but they do not believe that that apostles still function. And I'm not going to get into a huge defense of that today. I've even seen some in the Spirit-empowered movement who even feel that the prophets are not even a present-day function. Saying, "Oh, but I do believe in evangelists, pastors, and teachers." Why? Why did you take scissors to the first two and cut those out of your Bible? I don't understand that. Why not just take them all out if you're going to take out two? I think what's wrong here in this picture is that we don't have an understanding of what each of these are. Well, first of all, let's get this straight in our head. Even if you believe in the present-day functioning of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we need to have a right perception of what their role truly is in the body of Christ. These fivefold equipping gifts to the church, you know, just for the sake of an abbreviated way of referring to it, I will call it fivefold, the fivefold from now on. The fivefold is not about the fivefold. Apostles are not about the apostles. Being a prophet is not about being a prophet. It's being an evangelist is not about being an evangelist. Being a pastor is not about being a pastor. Being a teacher is not about being a teacher. Being any of these is about the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, can we just see that these are serving roles? These are empowering roles. These are not roles given to individuals so that they look awesome, though they are. It's so that these amazing anointed men and women of God may impart and empower the body of Christ to be amazing and anointed and powerful. When the fivefold is functioning properly, the major signs, wonders, and miracles, yes, those operating in the fivefold ministry, you're going to see that with them, but you're going to get a lot more reports of miraculous breakthrough from the janitor or the person that teaches the Sunday school class or the lady that works in the nursery or the guy that is flagging traffic in the parking lot. You're going to get signs, wonders, and miracle testimonies from those people, just as amazing testimony as anyone else, if the fivefold is functioning properly. Now, how can you say that, Dr. Turpin? Well, as I said, I don't think we understand what each of these are. Let's look first of all at this gift of apostle. In the first century world, the word and concept of apostle was already being used in secular culture, and it was not primarily a religious term. It wasn't a religious term at all, as a matter of fact. In Greek and Roman culture and history, this is what an apostle was. Whenever a Roman army would invade a territory and their army would conquer the enemy there, they would then send in an apostolic team led by an apostle to establish in that conquered territory the culture of Rome. And the Greeks did a similar thing. Whenever the Greek armies would invade a territory, they'd send in what was called an apostle to then cultivate and establish the culture of Greece there. And the reason for that being, they wanted not only for the enemy, that territory to be conquered and be legally the ownership of the empire, but they wanted it to truly become the empire, truly become part of the kingdom. So much so that if the emperor were to come and visit that land, he'd feel right at home. So an apostle brings the culture of the kingdom that he represents. The word actually means sent one, one who has been sent with the authority of the one who sent him. In coming with authority to cultivate the culture of the kingdom that he represents right there where he's been sent, okay? So how does that apply to us? Apostles in our day, their primary responsibility, it's a broad-reaching responsibility in our midst to establish in our midst the culture of heaven, the culture of the kingdom of heaven. We don't have time to get into all that right now, but even the Lord's Prayer, kind of, it's an apostolic prayer. Well, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the word order in the Greek is that thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. The emphasis is, okay, here's the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Lord, we pray that that be released into the earth. That's an apostolic type of prayer. So, but apostles, everything they do is for the purpose of establishing the culture of the kingdom of heaven in the midst of God's people, and to see that culture expand, okay? So that's the role of an apostle. Then we have the role of the prophet. Now, prophets first of all, let me say, not everybody who prophesies is a prophet. You know, all prophets will prophesy, but not all who prophesy are prophets, okay? In the sense of a fivefold equipping ministry, all right? And we'll get more into that when we talk about the prophetic later on in this course. But prophets are those, can be those who speak of things in advance of things actually happening. In other words, they foretell the future. Prophets are those who speak forth the mind and the will of God, his heart. They profess, prophet, profess, they speak forth the will of God. See, the word pro can mean all of these things I'm saying. Prophet can mean speaking before, like before something happens. Can be speaking forth the mind, will, and heart of the Father. And then there's a third aspect to it that I have only recently come across, and that is a prophet is one who speaks before, in the sense of speaking in front of another person. In other words, a person of authority can have another person who speaks on their behalf. Those who function as prophets speak on behalf of the one who sent them to speak. And, of course, it is God himself who sends us a speaker, in this case, Jesus, who's given prophets to the church, okay, to at times foretell things, at times speak forth the mind, will, and heart of God as one who stands before the Lord as his representative to the people. Prophets. We've already seen in our study of the manifestation gift of prophecy that the primary thing that these people do is they bring a ministry to the church of encouragement and strengthening, edification, based on what we saw in 1 Corinthians 14, the very nature of New Testament prophecy. But prophets bring that to the church, okay? They bring more than that, but we'll see what the more is in a few minutes. Let's look at evangelists. What are evangelists? Evangelists are soul winners. That's their passion. That's what they're anointed for. Shouldn't we all be soul winners? Yes. Okay, but evangelists are especially positioned and appointed by God to keep the focus of the church on the winning of the lost and reaching the harvest, okay? Pastors, who are the pastors? Pastors are the ones that care for people. They're always making sure everyone is connected through caring relationships. And they themselves are very caring people, always looking after the needs of the body of Christ. Then there's teachers. Those are the ones who bring understanding, who have insight into the Word, and who empower the rest of us to have insight into the Word by teaching us, and line by line, precept upon precept, going through Scripture and establishing us and discipling us through teaching. Now, but notice this, as we look at verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints, okay, for the work of the ministry. Now, wait a minute, wasn't everything we just said, wasn't that all the work of the ministry? Well, yes, it is, but the ministry is not limited to those five. I think sometimes we feel like in the church we're just an audience that comes together just to watch the fivefold do their thing on the platform. That's not it at all. They're empowering us so that we're the ones functioning, all right? But notice very specifically how the fivefold do empower us and equip us. Here it is, folks. The apostles empower and equip us to be apostolic. In other words, so that we're all people who bring the culture of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. The prophets are the ones who speak on behalf of God and speak forth the mind, heart, and will of God, empowering us all to be prophetic people who can speak and act prophetically, representing the purposes of God. The evangelist is a soul winner, yes, but the primary purpose of an evangelist is to empower all of us to be winners of souls, people that care for the lost world and are living their lives in such a way to be of a redemptive influence, hopefully to influence people toward faith in Christ. Can you see that's the role of an evangelist? And I would submit for your consideration that an evangelist, if all they're doing is just getting people saved, they are not fulfilling their fivefold responsibility in the body of Christ. Because not only are they to be soul winners, but they are to be equipping the saints to be people who reach the lost as well, who influence a lost world toward Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? I sure hope it does. And it goes, the same is true for pastors, that it's not just those who are pastors in our midst that are to be the ones to care for the body. No, the pastors equip the church to be pastoral. that we all may be pastoral, that we all may be caring of one another. Pastors inspire the body, the members of the body, to care for one another. That's the role of a pastor. Teachers, yes, oh, we can be just awestruck by their profound insight into the Word, and we can take notes from them, go home and meditate on those words. But here's the thing, it doesn't end there. Teachers, what do? They equip us to also be able to look with insight into the Scripture and to understand the Word of God, okay? Now, this is amazing, isn't it, when you look at it like this? The downside of all of this that I see in the church sometimes, though, is there may be a, let's say you have a, well, for one thing, I think it's a misnomer that we refer to the head leader in our churches as pastor. That may be their fivefold gifting, but not all pastors are pastors. Some that we call pastors are actually apostles. Some that we call pastors are actually evangelists. Some are that we call pastors are actually teachers or prophets. Oh, then they shouldn't be the pastor. No. You see, we've got the terminology all mixed up. That's why we're confused on this. No, God places apostles to be senior leaders of churches at times. God places a prophet to be a senior leader of a church at times. God sometimes will even put a pastor in place to be a senior leader of a church, okay, and teachers and so forth. But because the Lord knows what is needed in a given season in a church's history and in their journey, all right? But now, if there is an apostolic person who is the lead in that congregation, then that person needs the wisdom to gather around him others who are God-appointed to be prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Or let's say that the lead person, the primary congregational leader, is a prophet. Well, that prophetic leader needs to then have the wisdom to gather around himself apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Or if that lead person is an evangelist in the fivefold sense, he needs to gather around him apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. Can you see? It goes right down the line the same. There has to be the wisdom to recognize all five of these functions are needed for the proper functioning now of the body. But they don't all have to be in the same congregation. But there needs to be the wisdom to, from time to time, bring in the teacher, bring in the prophet, bring in the apostle. And it all works together. Why? To empower the body, to equip the body to function in its giftedness. This is all part of rightly stewarding the gifts that God has given to the church, the manifestation gifts. This is why I even bring this up. The fivefold giftings are necessary for the proper stewarding of the manifestation gifts. As I look at the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it will all go into chaotic confusion if we don't also have the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Because it is those five that will help lead the church into the proper stewarding of the gifts they have been given. Okay, with that said, let me get down to some very practical things here. Okay, let's say that you're in a church and the Spirit of God is moving in you in a way that you just feel like I've got to let this prophecy out, or I've got to speak in this tongue, or I feel like I should be interpreting here, or I think I need to give this word of knowledge, or, oh, I just feel like I should go over there and lay hands on that person for them to be healed, for the gift of healing to be functioning. Hey, that's great. Pray that God uses you in that way, but here's the thing. Always honor the culture of the house that you're in. Now hear me now. I don't care how anointed you are, how powerful of an unction you feel that's inside of you. Always honor the culture of the house that you're in. Well, how can I know what the culture is of the house? You follow the lead of the fivefold leaders in that church. It is the responsibility of those fivefold leaders the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's their responsibility to establish and sustain the culture of that particular congregation or that group of people. Okay? So it's so important to honor the leadership that God has put into place. All right? They're the ones, the fivefold, they're the ones that help keep things moving in the same direction and in unity in the body of Christ. In unity, where do you get that from? This Ephesians passage. Let me read it all. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service or ministry, for the building of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we become more like Jesus, in other words, so that we may no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ Himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. Wow. I mean, I read the whole thing to you now. You can see now, and it all goes back to us rightly discerning and receiving the fivefold gifts that Jesus gives to the body. Again, it's not about them. It is about the equipping of the church, the saints, the rest of us. But there's a responsibility on our part, too, to rightly honor and receive them. When I say honor them, I don't mean give them a plaque. I mean rightly value who they are, what they carry, what they bring for the benefit of all who are in the body of Christ. That makes sense to you? So this has a lot to do with our responsibility in stewarding the gifts. The right stewardship of the gifts, making sure that all things are done decently and in order. It all comes back right here in this context to us allowing these fivefold equipping gifts to function as the Lord intended them to function in the body of Christ. All right. Well, I hope that makes sense to you. And to me, it makes a lot of sense. It kind of takes a lot of the fear out of this when we see that the Lord has given to us the very ingredients needed to keep all of these manifestation gifts moving in the right direction in a way that is unifying, in a way that truly edifies the body of Christ.